Here we go, hang on.
Okay.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb or StuWebb.com, and it is Sunday, November the 15th, 2020. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul, Heidi, and Jeff on with me. We're doing this once, twice a week, roundtable discussion, because they're all born-again Christians like I am, claim to be. I'm not perfect, but we're having these discussions because we're all patriotic Americans that are awake. And Paul is an exception, Professor Paul. He's an educator. He's got a mind. He's been awake for 40 years. He sees what the New World Order does to us on a constant basis. And with that said, I'm letting you pick it up, Paul.
Thank you, Stu, and welcome, Heidi and Joffrey. Good to have you. I'm trying to put together a compelling and directional and descriptive narrative where we are at today, November 15th, I believe, 2020. And I thought I would start with COVID. Joffrey, Heidi, do you guys want to weigh in where you think we're at right now with COVID?
The numbers always astound me. I'm always surprised at what they say we're at versus where we are at. I'm always astounded at the fact that the numbers can magically increase when they need them to. And then, of course, the infection rate and all the hospitals supposedly have wings and sections of the hospital closed off for patients, but yet, you know, do you really see the patients? And as far as that goes, I mean, the numbers aren't necessarily matching up with the reality of the situation. And again, is it mimicking a flu virus? I'm hearing a lot more people coming down with this. Then you get back to the testing. Well, okay, how do we verify it? Well, Elon Musk goes in, he gets 4 tested in one day. He gets 2 negative, 2 positive, same day, same nurse. Nothing changes. And I guess if you need, you know, proof from somebody who's got celebrity status, you say, well, Elon, what do you think? Well, inconclusive. How can you have conclusivity when you have 2 tests positive, 2 tests negative? Same day, same nurse, same test. So, same kit. So, you just have to wonder how bogus is all of that, in the sense that I'm not denying there's something, but my gosh, you know, at the expense of what? At the expense of the economy? Is that worth it? Do we want to go backwards that far to the point where we're back into captivity, so to speak, for how many weeks? So, anyway, yeah, same old, same old. We just keep getting hit with the same stuff, and they don't change their narrative, and they don't back off of it, and we keep getting the same news peeps telling the same story. So there you have it. Let's change with those people. We aren't going to get reality out of them. I guess that is the reality. You know, we have to ask each other, what is reality? Well, it's their reality.
They are definitely controlling the narrative, and I really like how you extemporaneously put things into perspective. It's just one big bag of confusion, and it reminds me of William Casey's line to Ronald Reagan when he stuck his head in and said, what are you working on? Casey allegedly responded, when everything the American public believes is false, we'll know our job's complete. Heidi, you want to pick up on what Joffrey was saying?
You know, I had to step out of the room for a few moments, so I apologize. I didn't hear everything that he was saying, but I did hear the question that you posed about COVID. And at this point, there's a few observations. We are being told locally here in Nebraska that, you know, the hospitals are now at capacity. And now they're having to decide who gets care. And my concern is there's so many people that the testing has been through the roof. People have been forced to have to test for work, for their jobs. And then if someone tests positive, what does that do to a person? It incites fear. And what does fear do to our immune systems? It wreaks havoc. So I think there's a significant element of just fear and people running to the hospitals who really actually would be probably better suited to stay at home is my understanding. And then that just slows everything down. At this point too, are some of the people, the nefarious actions, we've seen it time and time again with medicine. And now we see there's such a significant element of politics in all of this, in the medicine. I mean, some of my biggest detractors will, they're complete left extremists. So you've got physicians that are left, highly left-wing extremists. How much are they encouraging people, their patients, to go to the hospital and get some help? How are they being compensated? I think we need to start asking a lot of questions too. Are these doctors that are part of these networks, are they being compensated for sending people to the hospital to get treatment who maybe don't necessarily need it at such an extensive level? I think we got to remember there's so much more to this. We all know that, but we've got to just keep asking questions. I got in a little bit of a verbal question answer. Actually, she did not answer very many of my questions, but I got into a bit of a debate on Facebook with a nurse at one of the local surgery centers here. And she's just a big time mask promoter. One, the type that now is wearing not only a mask, but a full head shield. I mean, full head shield, like even the back of her head and, her neck is covered. Psychologically, that makes people so crazy fearful. I mean, if you saw someone like that, you would think that this world was seriously coming to an end and we're all going to die. We're all going down, but there again, the models keep reflecting. People are not dying of this. Do people get sick? You better believe they get sick. But the flu happens every year. Do I believe that there is, the hospitals? Yes. Do I believe that there are people going in and getting care? Yes. And I feel like right now I'm just about to ramble on. So I'm going to just conclude what I'm saying, but let you guys go ahead.
I think both you guys have nailed perspectives that I think people are also feeling, sensing, and either having inner conversations or outer dialogues with others. Stu, what do you think right now on, is it a virus? Is it a bioweapon? Is it a 5G? Is it just another version of SARS and they're using a little bit more aluminum, a little bit more mercury? So you got stratosphere aerosol injections, and then you got vaccines working together. And then you've got some sort of bioweapon that interacts with them. What do you think we are up against here?
Well, we have to go back to the first of the year when the FBI arrested a professor at Harvard University. And Harvard was the U.S. government's bioweapon laboratory, one of many. They use the universities. They fund them. Now, they arrested him for selling a bile to Chinese intelligence where the so-called pandemic broke out, tied to George Soros Corporation. They also arrested a few months before on espionage charges, a professor at the University of Kansas in Manhattan. Now, that was a separate issue with what they're doing there, our government. It's called liquefaction, is what they were after. They can put a device at the end of Long Island, New York, one at the other end of the island. Within 3 hours, the entire island turns to quicksand. Everything drops in the ground. That's what they did at KU. Now, they arrested him. There was this big thing about the Chinese that the government, our government, intentionally, I believe, has not figured it out. It ties the Worthington Bank, Little Rock, Arkansas, during the years of the first, or the treasonous Bill Clinton and first lesbo Hildebeest, when she was the first lesbo of Arkansas. Now, that tied to Worthington Bank. Worthington Bank is Little Rock, Arkansas. It was the ties to the Chinese and their drugs and weapons and selling secrets to the Chinese that later led to the Lincoln bedroom inside the White House scandal. It was very well done by an author of a book about the Clintons. Here's the deal. It's the same group, Patrick Fong, F-O-N-G, his name has come up lately with the Hunter Biden scandal, the sex tapes on his video, having sex with little girls, perverted bastard. If I got my hands on him, I would have temporary insanity standing in front of him. That would be my defense. I couldn't help myself. Now, we got all these connections, and we got this problem. Suddenly appears to run Donald Trump's last year in office to win the election. I believe there was a bio set off in certain areas of the country. But not only was it a covert, overt operation of the Democratic Party, Biden, Obama, Clintons, and all of them, conspiring with Nancy Pelosi, Feinstein, and the list goes on. But I believe they've done it with chemtrails. Now, remember, this president doesn't even know the bigger picture. In my opinion, he was blindsided all the way, General Kelly, Kellyanne Conway, and his son-in-law, who has told him twice this week to resign. Just conceit. Now, he's a Mossad operative. His own daughter told him, and I like Ivanka. I think she's a smart, good-looking, intelligent woman. Bright, got a good sense to her. But she's a Jew. Her mother was a Jew. She wasn't raised as a Christian. She doesn't know that. Her husband's a Jew. But he's a Mossad agent. I can pretty much prove that with friends in U.S. intelligence that know this. Tell him to concede. They want the transition. They want to steal the presidency. Now, is the COVID real? I think they chemtrailed the shit out of us just before the election. Because I sold my riding lawnmower to a neighbor for nothing. $200. It was worth at least $5. Gave it away. But I got it running, and it turned out to be that needle and seat that he paid the $37, and I fixed it for him before I sold it to him. So I used it on the lawn that day to make sure I got my lawn good and clean and vacuumed up with the bags before I left so I'd have my deposit applied towards my rent for the month. Here's the point. I'm chemtrailed to death. I look up, I see streaks all over the place. This was about 3 weeks ago, and I came down with something within 48 hours. I couldn't hardly breathe, coughing like a dog. I had to go get a regular P73 for $40, and I'm finally getting the point. It's getting out of my lungs. I'm still coughing, still having problem breathing, but it's chemtrails. I believe they chemtrailed this country other people up where you're at, Paul, friends, patriots, ex-Marines, telling me they got chemtrail to death up there. Other parts of the country, everybody's reporting chemtrails. Now, a disbarred attorney told me back in January when lockdown came, it was about March, he was over at my house, I was coughing like a dog. I couldn't stop coughing. He goes, man, you got that chemtrail crud I had. He says, dude, you got to get something for it. Well, it was oregano P73, folks. It kicks your immune system in overdrive, and it drives the crap out of you. I'm convinced. Get a bottle of it. Very small bottle. It's called oregano P73. I believe...
Stu, is that a liquid or a...
Yes, it's liquid, about ounce for $40. Very expensive. It only takes a couple drops. Now,
okay.
It killed this... A doctor prescribed this for my father, who's in a nursing home, after getting the rhinovirus, which was found out, was sprayed out of NOAA airplane or balloons that they broke over America, blew up. To intentionally test this virus on the American people. His blood count was running 22,000 over 12,000, white or red, whatever it is. They couldn't get it down. Four times it hit him. Four times he's back to the hospital, out of the nursing home. Couldn't walk and knocked him down. He was 88 years of age, still driving a car. The rhinovirus took him down. Now, the P73 brought his blood count back to normal at the 12,000 range within 6 weeks. Me giving it to him two, three times a week, stuffing it in his mouth at the nursing home. A couple, three, four, five drops at a time. Overdosing him because I wasn't there every day. It brought him back to normal. The doctor started prescribing it to him. Here's the point. That stuff is powerful. Very powerful. It will clean you out. The disbarred attorney started taking it. His lungs cleaned out. So, I believe, to ask you a question, what do I think this is? I think they've got a bio running. I think they're doing it with chemtrails. They're making people sick. Now, if you take a can of Lysol spray, you can start finding it, by the way, at the Dollar General stores and different places, all sold out. And for 5 years... It says right on the back of the Lysol spray can, it says it kills coronavirus. It's been on the can for 5 years. The FDA, or EPA said a few months ago, the only thing that will kill the virus is Lysol spray. Now, the nursing homes in Missouri have been giving their patients a shot a day of tonic water. Tonic water. Canadian Dry tonic water. It's got quinine in it, which kills coronavirus. Virus. It's a cold flu virus. The number of deaths being reported in this country are lies. It's all fictitious. They're throwing every death into the pile of corona. But I believe before the election, they hit us. And it's Biden, Hildebeest, Soros, all these, this Pamela Harris, the prostitute, white slave owner in Jamaica at her farm, her daddy's farm had white slaves. This New World Order, satanic pig group, are responsible for what is taking place today in the hospitals. We're having an outbreak where all the hospitals are full in Kansas City, as an example. And I believe that they did this intentionally to drive the country into the ground as they thought they were going to steal the election. I got news for them. Watch the video on StuWeb.com of Sidney Powell that I put up yesterday. I know what's going on. Donald Trump is not going to leave the White House. And if we have to, including me, I will defend that. Now, is the virus fake? I believe that they have hit us with chemtrails, Paul, and I believe they hit something in the country to make a lot of people sick, and I'm not quite sure of what it is. But whatever it is, oregano P73, folks, get some. Spend the $40 and get healthy, because we got a revolution getting ready to happen. Yeah. Go ahead, Paul.
And Stu, can I ask you, where do you pick up this oregano?
Any of the health food stores. Whole Foods carries them. Any of the health food stores carries it. It's here. Matter of fact, I'll put out the name of the company so people can order it direct. Let's find it.
Stu, while you're looking for that.
Oregano.com. OreganoL.com. And it's called P73 Super Strength.
Thank you. Thank you, Stu.
You're welcome.
I want to pick up on what Heidi has said and what Joffrey has said and what you have persuasively added, Stu, and that is the four-pronged approach that is being delivered by Joey from Scranton and all of the mainstream media, covert CIA operatives, agents, whatever you might call them. It all starts, of course, with this idea of masking. And I've done about as much research. I've been as thorough as I can. And I'm just going to give them a 50-50 on mass, meaning that let's just say that they might be right. It's a coin toss, 50-50. Even though my research says the only way the mask is going to be effective with this so-called virus is if you are taking care of someone who is very sick with it and you don't want to give them anything else in addition to whatever they have as a respiratory infection. So that's the only use that I could find on the World Health Organization or any peer-reviewed study that says, you know, there may be a point where we use masks. Now, remember, in surgery, that if you're having surgery, you don't want a doctor coughing on you with your open wound and so forth. There are some compelling reasons. There is a time that a mask may be appropriate, and there is some scientific literature studies that have been done on masks. But this idea that the mask is protecting you and that someone else's mask is protecting them. I just want to give you an example of a guy just heard and talked to recently. He said they've been masked in Redding, California now for almost 6 weeks, and they went from 30 cases to 3,000. So everyone's wearing a mask, and yet the cases have increased from 30 to 10,000. I'm sorry, 3,000. So you've got this huge increase. What did the mask do? Very little. Did they do harm? Maybe. That's why I'm at the 50-50. So you got this whole idea of mask, and I want to move then to the second idea that they have.
Can I add something to the mask before you move on?
Yes.
Look, I'm a white single male. I'm 66, but I still look. Okay? Haven't had any love for a while, but I still look. If I can't see, one of the things I learned early on in life with women is look in their eyes. It tells their soul. Wow, where's the rest of the face? I like to see the cute face with the cute eyes. The body is visible, but now the face is covered. And everybody's afraid to touch each other, even shake hands, which is what? A form of giving love to each other. Touch, feel. Everybody's afraid to do it. The whole country is frustrated. The whole country. Now, is this God's way? No. It isn't. It's part of their demonic crap. Getting rid of the feeling between human beings as they bring us into this New World Order crap that they, the end of their agenda. It's going to continue. if we allow it to. I just wanted to add that, Paul.
Well, those are good points. The reason I wanted to start with masks is I'm just going to give them, throw out, I'm doing some math, some logic here. And so 50-50 on masks, let's move to social distancing. Now, I think it's fascinating that you're safe in a big box store, but not a church. And you go to a restaurant, and apparently it's okay if you're sitting there and eating, but if you're moving about, you're a spreader. And apparently this virus knows the difference between a national park and beach, or a commons area. Where I live, there's 30 homes, and there's an association, and the commons area, really, that includes some clubhouse and other types of facilities. And boy, you're supposed to be masked up in the commons area. And actually, I think they'd like you to wear a mask in the home. But I just want to point out that the social distancing is in combination to the mask. So let's just say that social distancing, it's 50-50. So now I've introduced to you masks and social distancing, and I'm proposing that each of them might be 50% effective. If you combine those two, 50-50, that's one half and one half. Now, if you are believing them, so far we're down to 25% that they're right, and that there actually is benefit to the mask and social distancing. Now I want to move to testing. And Heidi, you did a great job of covering masks, and thank you. And now I'm to Joffrey's point on testing. So Elon Musk does more tests, and sure enough, he ends up 50% of the time he's COVID positive, 50% of the time he's not. So let's just take testing for a minute. Anyone want to guess what the efficacy supposedly of a flu vaccine is? Now, they can't test for what type of flu. They got to just guess what sort of flu you're likely to encounter. What do you suppose they say the effectiveness of the flu vaccine likely is?
18%. 18%? 20%?
Well, 50% is what they say. Now, remember, these are always what they say. I'm just working with some numbers that I think are, you know, let's just assume they may be right or they may be wrong. Once again, let's go with 50% on this testing. So far, what we've got is one half chance they're right on masks, one half chance they're right on social distancing, and now I'm giving them one half chance that they're right on testing. So that gets us now to the probability, just with logic, just with thinking critically, there's a chance 1 in 8 that they might be right or telling the truth. I don't believe any of those, but I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt. So finally, then they want to introduce one more thing, and this is Joey from Scranton, and this is his task force advisory council, and this is the mainstream media. Finally, what they're insisting on is there's going to be a vaccine. Now, I think most people have heard that Pfizer has said 90% efficacy. I have to ask, 90% effective, 90% efficacy against what? What, against symptoms? Does it prevent whatever, the virus or the bioweapon? So anyway, I'm just going to add one more. Let's just assume vaccines are one half or 50% effective. So far I've given four examples. We started off with masks, then we went to social distancing, then we went to testing, and then finally we're to vaccines. Let's just assume mathematically that they're correct. One half and one half and one half and one half. Well, so now we're down to 1 in 16 that they could possibly be right in all four of those areas. And I know that this sounds a little bit outrageous, but I'm asking us to put everything they tell us on trial for its life.
Amen.
Go big picture.
It is your life. If you take that shot, it's your ass. I'm just giving everybody a big fat warning. I won't take it. It's got a DNA changer and a credit debit chip in it. and I will not take it because it's the mark of the beast and it's in the Bible, and I will kill to keep from taking it. Christ died for me, I will die for him. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, and this does bring me to the point. You see, I'm even given the Joey from Scranton, the mainstream media, they're talking heads, they're CIA operatives, they're FBI division, whatever. I'm giving them a 50-50 on all of what they're telling us, and now we're down to 1/16. So I would just say, if you're trying to buy their narrative and put those four things together, Joey from Scranton's plan, what they're telling us we need to do, which is the lockdown, which is kill the economy, we are down to ridiculous. It's pure nonsense. But here's why it's so pure nonsense. The first idea. The first idea is a coin toss. It's 50-50. We always need to be critical and dismiss anything that's a coin toss. Everything they presented to us so far is phony information. Now, are people getting sick? Yes, they are. Now, here's one that just bent my mind. I'm watching the mainstream media news, and they did the story twice. How's this one for you two, or for you three? So they come out and they say, well, if you're obese, you have a 50% greater chance of contracting COVID. And I think, well, that's interesting. So I turned on my recorder, and it's from Mayo. And that's the story that I'm going to watch in the next 2 minutes. And sure enough, a guy from Mayo gets on and says, our research says 50% greater chance of becoming infected with COVID if you're fat. And then, this was like, are you kidding me? Then they announce, and not only that, but if you catch it, which you have a 50% greater chance, remember the 50% again. Well, then you have a 50% greater chance of dying of COVID if you're obese. So right now, that tells me at least they're introducing a lifestyle element. But once again, I'm back to this 50-50. Well, it's a coin toss. And I do wonder, and this is going to connect to what Heidi has said about the nurses wearing masks, and we see our neighbors that are looking like they're biohazard suits is what they're wearing. And then Joffrey, of course, mentioning these numbers that they're throwing out. Stu, you mentioned the numbers. And I just want to add that I saw where the CDC had reduced COVID deaths to 37,000 a couple weeks ago. And yet on the mainstream media and all of these other outlets, I'm hearing 231,000. And isn't this an outrage that we could have done more to flatten the curve? And then all these hospital beds are supposedly full, but they really aren't. I just think we are just being inundated with absolutely fictitious numbers, and they control the narrative.
I do believe, now Paul, depending on where they were dumping these chemtrails, because I got hit by it, okay, and that's the reason I'm saying, I know it was chemtrails, and I have all the, you could say for a couple weeks during my move, I had pretty much all the symptoms of COVID virus. Most of the symptoms. I'm just telling you. That was for almost 2 weeks. And it was the oregano P73 that got rid of it. But it was the chemtrails, folks. The chemtrails. They're not contrails. When an airplane hits the atmosphere that has moisture in it, it leaves a trail. It's called a contrail. And it dissipates in a short period of time. Behind it, a chemtrail lays across the sky, begins to open up and spread to the ground. That's what I was hit with, Paul. I know that. This chemtrail crap, this needs to stop. Weather wars need to stop.
I'm fascinated by your analysis because I happen to agree with you.
I believe they did this intentionally before the election. Before the election. So they could have chaos after the election as Biden comes into transition and has his fingers on the button and his fingers at the FBI telling everybody what to do and not to do and all the other bit. But it didn't work for him. It's not working for them, and he will not be president. But I believe they fucked up the country with chemtrails. Now, we have to add what my nurse friend Amber has brought to my attention, did a radio show, it's on the radio bar, scroll down, two periods per month because of G5 being installed in California. 100 women having two periods per month for 10 months, she discovered. They all complained. They buried the 5G in the street, blacktopped over it. Within 2 months, she goes back to her 28-day cycles, normal. Her brain was shrinking, and blood coming out of her ear after about the 10th month of 5G tower in her neighborhood. Now, folks, those are going to have to be dealt with, in my opinion, in a very short period of time, even if it takes the American people to take care of the problem. A gallon of gasoline, buy a can at Walmart, 2-gallon can for $5, fill it, pour it, leave a trail, put it back. I didn't tell you how to do it. Figure it out. It takes care of 5G towers. This T-Mobile was the second setup in America. Now, Henry Gruber sat with Dmitry Duderman. They both are probably prophets. They saw things in their time, in the 90s, and they sat at a table together in Ohio, I believe it was, with the Prophecy Club. I would have been there. Dmitry Duderman wouldn't have been. But I got anthraxed. He took my place. Someone was at that table who told me that Henry Gruber of Iowa said to Dmitry, they were talking about the lay of the land and us being attacked by Russia and China and the whole bit, end time prophecy, and then we return to God, and all of a sudden the land, they leave us. No more war. But he said he saw these towers all across America. They were like cell towers. And it was the last thing before the end. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, those are two powerful witnesses, visionaries, prophets for God. And I have to admit that a lot of my thinking is deeply influenced by what was revealed to them.
Mine is too.
What I want to try and do here is just wrap up COVID for a minute and suggest that they are controlling the narrative. And what I want to suggest is, just from a logician's point of view and from a mathematical perspective, it's very unlikely. In fact, it's highly improbable, not plausible, that they are telling us the truth about virtually anything. The numbers are phony, the tests are phony, masks don't work, social distancing doesn't work, and all of this, Joey from Scranton, the mainstream media, agent talking heads, it's so much foolishness. And I want to pick up on a response beyond the oregano later. But what I would like to do now is a little bit of an analysis from everyone on where are we at with this contested election. Joffrey, you want to start, then we'll go to Heidi, and then give Stu a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to back up real fast today. I just want to interject one thing with what Stu mentioned. I don't think we can rule out multiple distribution systems for an aerosol virus, or whatever we want to call it, and geographically where they want to concentrate it. So anyway, that's just a thought. But when I'm listening to you two gentlemen talk about it, you know, it just seems like there's a lot more control to where they might direct that. Anyway, getting back to your question, where are we at with the I'll rephrase that, would you please, real quick, Paul?
Well, I wanted to move into the election, but now you got me wanting to say one more thing that I was going to say later towards the end. And this is where I find it so curious. Americans are bifurcated. Heidi, you picked up on it right away, and you said, we got a lot of people that are afraid. And the two things that are happening because of fear. You got some people that they think that their controllers care about them. They think the people running the show with this COVID response actually are doing it. And if they just do what they say, everything's going to be better. It's Joey from Scranton and his team, they care about us, and they wouldn't lie to us. And then conversely, you have another group that is, they know something's very wrong, but they're also fear-based, and so what they're doing is saying, oh man, we better do as they're told. I better put on that mask. I better go along and get along, because if I don't go along and get along, they'll do something else. I mean, they'll do something worse. And so if we just play nice, they'll be nicer to us. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's what I'm observing. That's been my experience.
Now, back to the election.
Well, can anyone add one more thing about the COVID, or should we go to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go to the election. And what are you hearing, Joffrey? What are you seeing, Heidi? And what does your intelligence tell you, Stu? Let's start with Joffrey again.
Anything that is questioned gets really, really confronted with a blast. In other words, the lady was asking about, now, is it possible that we've seen fraudulent activity? Is it possible we've seen election tampering? And the gentleman from Fox shakes his head. I can't believe you'd ask that question. Are you implying that there has not been any proof of any tampering with the election? So they're all puppeting the same response. They're you know, you attack the opponent with outlandish comments and you hit them hard, and hopefully they back off of their statement. But it's just a beatdown. You can't contest that these people are rabid. And you have to wonder, you have to get back to, are we under the great delusion that the Bible talks about? You have to really almost say we are, because these people, I mean, it's in their face. They're finding with this software glitch, of course, now there was some talk of U.S. Army going into Germany, and you guys probably will cover this too anyway, but seizing the server, because they could tell from the server that there was interruptions at what time they wanted to shut off votes or count votes. It was all being handled in Germany through Sitel, I believe is the name of the company. But anyway, so this kind of gerrymandering with the election, and we're supposed to believe and accept the results. And by the way, you know, I think even Kushner wants his father-in-law to just accept the results. And I think the blonde lady on Fox is generally fairly conservative. Dated Bill Maher for a while, Ann Coulter. Yeah, just concede the election. Absolute stupidity. These people just want to go along to get along, assuming that these people are going to play nice if you do, and you've got nothing at this point. We concede this.
By the way, Ann Coulter is not a she. It's a he, folks. Look at its Adam's apple and how it constantly flips its hair. It's a he. It's a cross-dresser. If I saw it in public, I'd have temporary insanity.
Anyway, so yeah, from that standpoint, you know, you just can't get a platform, because if you disagree with it, well, then you're look at you. You're disagreeing with the election. You're a nut job. That's a conspiracy theory. That's all they can throw out when they have no answer for the actual event. But anyway, so from what I'm seeing on my point briefly, no one's buying it. Even though we know it's true, they have a big rally, and CNN comes on and says, well, we the crowd started about 300. And then they said, well, it swelled to 5,000 to 7,000. It looks like there was about 500,000 there at this mega rally. And then apparently the D.C. cops funnel the people through the Black Lives Matter group so they can get harassed, beaten, assaulted, and everything else. And you just got to wonder, how long are people going to continue to take and accept the beatdown? I don't care whether it's through the media, it's through Black Lives Matter. There has to be a trigger. There has to be a tipping point. I don't know what it is, but there has to be a point when people say, you know, enough of this crap. When is the pushback? and they're slow to do it. Conservatives are slow to move, slow to react. But at some point, there's going to be a button pushed, and then it's going to be, it's on.
That's a powerful point. I want to pick up on that, but I want to hear from Heidi, and I want to hear from Stu.
Well, you know, to hear what people are saying about this election, you know, there again, to if people actually do research and unplug from media, they start finding out the truth, and they start finding the information. And then, you know, if they take a step back from whatever their party affiliation is, it is absolutely amazing that they can have some sort of clarity. I don't know how many, I visited with quite a few independents, registered independents, and that is what happened to each one of them. They unplugged from the TV, they did their own research, and they came to a completely different conclusion than what they were being fed. And that is something that I think, you know, any one of us, we have to do that, because I should say most people that don't take the time to utilize critical thinking skills. I need to back up and say that. Because if we are just going to be regurgitators of information that we are fed, we're not really seeking truth. One of you gentlemen said, I do believe we are in the Great Deception. We are definitely going through that. From the get-go, when all of this really first started, you know, earlier this year with COVID and so forth, you know, I just started researching what was going on. And I didn't want to tell people what to think, because I am one of those people, I want people to think, you know, be critical thinkers. I just started out asking questions, and that's what I would do with folks. I would just ask them questions. Okay, what's really, you know, it was amazing how that really truly helped people start to seek the truth and question what they are being fed. So there again, you know, I've had my extreme liberal friends, you know, they're totally buying into this narrative from the news that Biden is the president-elect. They are convinced he is the president-elect. They don't even know what all needs to happen state by state. You know, they just listen to what is being, they are being fed. And it's heartbreaking. Yet it's something that years ago, a friend of mine from Italy, you know, that was an observation when we were in our early 20s. She came over here to the States. She said, you guys actually believe everything that you were told via the news. Uh-huh. And that always stuck in my mind, and I thought, well, that's exactly, like I've shared before, that's exactly why I did not go into broadcast journalism, because it was not journalism, it was disseminating the AP wire is essentially what it was. So anyway, I truly believe, with all of us believers, if we collaboratively on our knees ask God, let the truth be revealed in this election, I truly believe that it will happen. There's just too many people that are just now, that are banding together. And there is power and strength in numbers. But those are my thoughts.
Well said. Stu, you want to give your a quick summary on where we're at in the election right now and what happens in the next 5 to 7 days with it?
Trump won. It will be revealed that he won, and the software called Dominic Software, Dominion Software, whatever, and a couple other ones, I'm already on top of it. Now, it goes back to Norman Brownstein setting the corporation up that controls the software that's been stealing the elections where they weren't doing it with Daddy Bush and his Westar satellite system, changing them backwards. and Norman Brownstein is the attorney who was hired by Leonard Millman, my ex-witch doctor's father, in 1972 out of law school, and he hired Larry Mizell. Mizell is the one that now is inhabited with the fallen angel alien that left Leonard Millman because Larry Mizell did the Council of 12 so well. He served him so well. It went from Meyer Lansky to Leonard Millman to Larry Mizell. But Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein graduated in 72 from law school. Mizell became a builder for Millman, doing apartments, stealing from HUD. Brownstein became an attorney, setting up corporations for him and for Daddy Bush. Then he became the CI counsel to Norman Brownstein, became the CI counsel to Daddy Bush, one of what they called the sixth counsel, Natale, Brownstein, etc. And there's four others. They were the lead counsel. Underneath them, I don't know how many assistants they had, but I heard it was about 200 of them. One of them was called Bill Barr, the current Attorney General of the United States. Mr. Bill Barr was an assistant to Norman Brownstein. His code CIA name was Robert Johnson, folks. Robert Johnson. Now, why did Trump pick Bill Barr? Because of Kellyanne Conway. Because of Kellyanne Conway, who's no longer there. Influenced the White House for 4 years. If I saw her in public, I would have temporary insanity on her or her husband, either one. They were traitors. One day, I believe Donald Trump will know that. Now, the first stealing of people's homes was started in 1975 when Daddy Bush was CIA director and was called World Financial, Inc., INC, period. And they were doing Arapahoe. They own your house. They got your mortgage. You built equity. And so they want to steal it. Since bank bailout, there's been 12 million people since 2008. Their home's stolen. Well, they were doing that back then. Setting it up, Brownstein was. His assistant was Bill Barr, the Attorney General of the United States that was recommended by Kellyanne Conway to play cover-up meister. They got all the evidence they need to burn them for the fraudulent 2016 stuff against Trump. But nothing's going to be done until Bill Barr is totally exposed and out of there, folks. Now, Sidney Powell, who is the attorney for my friend Scott Bennett, Lieutenant Scott Bennett, Army Intelligence, working in the same outfit was Mr. Ed Snowden, who blew the whistle on them continued spying after being told by the Congress and Senate you were limited. And ended up in Russia, going into hiding. They worked in the same building. Now, here's points. Scott's attorney is Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell is Otis Johnson, my friend's friend, General Flynn's attorney. Not at first when he was charged. And there's a recording up on the radio bar of Super Spook Otis Johnson in a private conversation with me of about 13 minutes where he didn't know he was being recorded. They were trying to kill me and him at the same time because of being friends, we assumed. And I had somebody on me, and I was asking him. In that, he talks about going back to Bluffdale, folks. That's the secret NSA, six stories below ground, beyond computer, alien base on the south side hooked up to it. The aliens, the fallen angels. Now, Otis told me 2 months before his death, he says, don't worry about who was the prosecutor against Trump. I'm forgetting his name.
You had the Senate. I'm sorry, you had the...
The one that was going around prosecuting all the aides to Trump. Anyway.
Mueller.
Mueller, that's it. that Nazi. Mueller, Otis told me, and don't worry about him, Stu. If Mueller doesn't do his job and prosecute Hilda Beast, because that's what we used to call her, Hillary Clinton, for her dossier, he will find himself in a prison cell. And when Otis said that, I said, this guy's working an operation. He's involved. He ends up dead 2 months later. General Flynn is arrested 2 weeks later on false charges. Now, I'm aware that there is something huge going on. Now, I got friends. I got a friend that's a former prosecutor in Colorado that tried to murder last week, and I don't appreciate that. When I find out who the fuck was behind it, you're done. You're toast. I'm tired of people dying around me. Now, she's aware. Others are aware of what's going on. Now, I put up a video of Sidney Powell, who is the attorney for Scott Bennett and General Flynn. Both good people. I've had private conversations with Scott. I've had private conversations thanks to a couple of people made donations in the past week. I was able to buy a phone card for one of my throwaways to find out. Donald Trump is not going to leave the White House. He's going to remain the President of the United States, and he's going to prove the Dominion, whatever it is, software, and the others. And as Sidney Powell says in her video on CNN with Lou Dobbs, it's on my site, posted yesterday, she made the comment, go ahead, officially say those are the true numbers of the election, secretaries of state. And she's saying, basically, what you're doing is committing RICO. Racketeering Influence and Corruption Organization is what you are, and your software. Now, she came out and said some of these people have been paid to do this. There will be prosecutions by Sidney Powell, I guarantee you, with RICO actions up the rear ends, and every one of these people in bulk will find themselves in a prison cell shortly, and Donald Trump is going to remain in office. And we will see a list of people over the next 6 months being prosecuted, just like Charles Keating. Nobody prosecuted him. The LaRock law firm that I was providing information to, in which Don West came and saw me personally for 3 days in a row, gathering my information. That's what put Charles Keating in jail. RICO, private attorney. Sidney Powell's going to do this to this Jerry boy, him a beast, Barack Obama. Now, let's see. We got Norman Brownstein was the one that set it up, and he was partners in Iran-Contra, the money launderer, and was on the board of directors of Silverado Savings and Loan, Neil Bush director, former counsel to Daddy Bush at the CIA. And he got his partner, Larry Mizell, with the tracks here, tied to the software. I'll be doing a report this week on it. Then he got Sidney Powell going to prosecute him. You got Feinstein and Pelosi both owning stock in this company, along with Hilda Beast. Who's going to end up in jail under RICO? Sidney, I salute you. I'm behind you. If anything happens to you, I will ensure whoever did it dies. With that said, that's my temporary report on what's going on with the election. And I have details with documentation this week on it, Paul.
Excellent, Stu.
Because Norman Brownstein is listed in my grand jury demand from 1995. Very serious. Let me see if I pull it up here.
Well, I want to move
go ahead.
Into the ripple effect from this contested election, and I want to just state at the beginning, I'm working from an assumption that they always plan for a contested election. And they've written into the script, part of their screenplay is uncivil war. And uncivil war is obviously asymmetrical. You don't know where it's going to come from. We know the fifth column is already here. They've made sure of that. Chinese troops are likely in Canada and in Mexico, and Russians are already embedded here. So we know that many of the parts are in place, but uncivil war can also include the United Nations. Now, the United Nations has a curious charter, and part of their charter is that they can serve as peacekeepers, but not necessarily as an offensive force. And at some point, I want to bring a friend of mine on to talk about the World Federation Constitution and some information that most of us are not familiar with, but I think would be interesting. But I want to talk right now immediately about the consequences. What is going to happen in the next couple of weeks? We're being told, hey, Thanksgiving, it's going to be lockdown, and nobody should be traveling, and nobody should have friends over, and we're going to I guess in about 18 states, tell you got to wear a mask if you're out in public, and we want neighbors to tell on neighbors, and I don't really know how they're going to force any of this. But how soon does this civil war start? And I want to maybe connect it to the economic reset, because I think, well, you all of a sudden, if EBT cards don't work, or people that are getting their pensions, or people that think they've got a stock or equities, or even treasuries, that they're in good position, and it doesn't matter that the other 50% is doing horrific, terrible, awful. As long as they've got theirs, then they think things are going to be okay. Where are you at, Joffrey? Where do you think we're at on the Civil War timeline?
Well, I think a lot of wood wrap.
Jeffrey, you're without speaking it. You're basically you're into the financial angle of things with your career. Yep. Without saying no more. Okay, so you're an expert in your field. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and everything does tie back around finance and money, because that's what we use. That's what we're forced to use. And so, you know, you even have the Bank for International Settlements, which kind of dictate a lot of the policy that we have to comply with. And getting back, I guess I'm back, rounding backward to your question, because you brought up a couple of good points. You know, when you lose the... And I've mentioned this before, but when you lose the stability of your most, let's put it this way, the most solid foundation of any government is its government bonds and the ability to issue the bonds to raise capital to function. When you can no longer repay that debt, you put yourself in a position either of a soft default, where you have to extend maturities, or you just simply continue to print the money, and then you're using deflated dollars to pay off those debts. So either way, it's devastating to an economy, because eventually it stops. Your creditors look at you and say, okay, this isn't going in the right direction. What do we want in lieu of holding a U.S. Treasury bond? Well, okay, how about we have land in, say, Yellowstone? So let's say the Chinese, we in lieu of Treasury bonds, no longer want Treasury bonds, and we want tracts of land and property. In Yellowstone, let's say, or any place they want to have national parks. So yeah, once you interrupt that stability of that monetary system, that's when you begin to go down a slippery slope of no return. But the Bank of International Settlements would like to probably, along with some of the central banks, introduce our digital banking system, the digital currency. So when we move to digital, that kind of gets them off the hook in the sense that, oh, look at this, we've got this replacement. And you can't do it fast, because you may not get people to play along, and you could have insurrection just over the monetary system. And the guy that's got the giant 401k says, hey, wait a minute, I'm getting screwed here. You just went from XYZ in value of your currency now to half of that. Now, wait a minute, I'm getting screwed here. Where's the money go? Where'd the other 50% of my wealth go? So those people pulling the strings behind the scenes as they introduce the new cash system, we are at the mercy of their discretion or lack thereof. So how does that tie in? Well, wouldn't it be ironic to have all of these things timed in such a fashion that they hit at the same time? And what would be maybe the purpose of something like that? You know, could it be that if it looks like the gig is up and like Stu says, Trump's going to win the election, and they're saying, hey, we've got a couple options. What are our nuclear options? What's plan one? What's plan two? What's plan three in the event of? Maybe what we do is we pull the plug on the monetary system and we immediately cause chaos. Or we detonate something. Somebody detonates something somewhere in the United States and distraction happens. I mean, there's a lot of things they could do. And they've got a lot of cards they can play. So it's one of those things that how bad do you want to win, Mr. Trump and team? Because look what we can do. And is it a game of chess in that sense? You know, is it, hey, you do this and we'll retaliate with that? And it probably is. But we do require a monetary system to function. But if we do go digital, then we're screwed because we know with the keystroke of a button, boom, you're shut off.
Now, Jeff, I want to add to that, if I may.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I think it was, my days blend together lately, I went to bank, U.S. Bank, to put $10 in there because I was down to about 60 cents in my account. I said, my God, I didn't know I was that tight. So I put 10 bucks in there, keep the account open. She goes, I said, may I get a deposit slip, please? She says, are you depositing a check or cash? I said, cash. How much? I said, well, I'll put it in there. I didn't want to say. People are listening. She says, we're no longer doing paper deposits. Just give me your driver's license, put your deposit in there. But I wrote my account down on a piece of paper and sent it to her. In other words, they aren't accepting any longer deposit slips. No paper. The bank. Now, I'm aware that in January, Popemon, the Pope, is going to hold a big conference about the new world digital currency that they're going to be doing and introducing. He's got all the world leaders coming over there. Now, does this fit in with what the Jehovah Witnesses believe? The Popemon plays a very important role, according to the Bible, in end time prophecy. Are you aware of the conference they're going to have world leaders over there in January?
Now you're not talking about the new Davos, are you?
I'm talking about, it may be the Davos or whatever they call it, but Pokemon's going to hold this big conference in January with all the world leaders over currency.
Right, right. And it's being, so there's something coming, Stu. I mean, it is coming. A real quick segue to that. I had a friend that went to his little hometown bank, had a check from the disabled veteran. I mean, it was some type of military check for service where he had some injuries. And he took his check in, and it was after noon. It was after 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and he took his, I think it was a $213 check roughly. And he says, I'd just like to cash this. And she's, oh, sir, we don't keep that kind of money in here after noon. And that was a bank. So, you know, I think we're in a cash shortage. There's hardly any cash out there, frankly. But anyway, continues to.
No, go ahead.
I want to just stop for a minute and just talk about how huge this really is. We are going cashless almost without people knowing it. I'm still paying for things with cash and people are accepting it. I had a home remodel project and outside of the Home Depot and Menards and the required hardware for the project, I paid for everything in cash and have a really good guy. He's Ecuadorian and can do everything. You know, he can do plumbing, he can do drywall, he can do a lot of things. And so we still have that economy. And I have a lot of respect for the tradesmen. I mean, what I really like about the tradesmen, your electricians, your plumbers, your drywall guys, all the people involved in skilled trades, and even in manufacturing, these people really know what it takes to earn a living and create an income stream. And it's so interesting, if you listen to them, they know something's wrong and they can't quite figure it out, but they're still taking cash. And my grocery store is still taking cash, and actually the gas station. But how much longer is that going to go on when you squeeze all of the cash out of the economy? And, you know, I used to go several times a week, get $300 from the machine, and that's how I would, that's how I'd pay my expenses.
Hey, a lot of the Dollar General stores, Paul, a lot of the Dollar General stores about a month ago said, hey, we need to have you use card unless you have the exact change, because we don't have any change. They were doing away with the coins.
You know, India was kind of my big wake up. I thought there is just no way they will be able to make India go cashless. And this has been 5-7 years ago that I expressed reservations that in a country like India that you could get rid of cash. They've almost accomplished that. And it's just amazing what the march of technology has been able to do. And that really gives them tools to lock us down and I think set us up for the collapse of the economy. And then all of a sudden we're being basically told, all right, so here's what it's going to take for you to participate. If you want to be in this economy, you're going to get tested, you're going to get vaccinated, and you're going to do everything we tell you to do just so that you're able to buy and sell. I asked the question about Civil War. How far are we from Civil War? What happens on Black Friday? I have to admit that if I'm given advice, and I try and be careful about giving advice, but I think the last day that I would go shopping would be Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I know that I'm extremely cautious now about anything I do. I try and be prayed up at all times. I think that with this lockdown they're trying to impose on us for Thanksgiving, and they've really pushed it, I think that Black Friday, that particular weekend, could be a turning point. But once again, I don't want to skyre. I don't want to get into the crystal ball, but I also want to be aware of what trends are going on. And so I'm just wondering, economic reset, suitcase nukes, and Civil War altogether. And I think that's kind of what you guys were indicating, is it's going to come in some batch, and maybe a batch of three altogether. And boy, once you get the fighting in the streets, do you contain it to the cities, or does it spill over into the suburbs? Is there anywhere to be safe? I'm of the opinion that all of us better have protection in our homes. And what I do know is that peaceful protesting does zero. And the bottom line is the government, as long as we're peaceful, they don't give a rip. They're going to use violence against us. And I am not in any way suggesting violence right now. I think that that's what they're trying to get. I mean, if you listen to Alex Jones, he's tried to start three civil wars already, and I've only listened to the guy 5 minutes my whole life. I mean, I find the guy to be a disgusting operative, and there's so many disgusting people out there. It's our responsibility to pray for him, but it's also very difficult to be human and watch all of the disinformation, misinformation, and so forth. And I don't want to be a disinformation or misinformation guy, but there's a whole lot wrong. They've been very public. And now I want to try and finish, wrap the bow. Joey from Scranton, he keeps talking about this dark winter. Joffrey, Heidi, and Stu, can you guys weigh in? What do you think this dark winter is?
Well, I guess opinion and speculation is a storm of a sense, is what I'm kind of gathering. It's maybe not just one thing, but it's an oppression of multiple layers that keep coming at us. This is just my thought. And I can see it in several different fashions, how it could come at us. And it could be in layers. And so, yeah, and when we're probably the most vulnerable is during a time when we are all in our homes and it's cold and nobody wants to get out. And just for whatever reason, they take pleasure in bringing the bad news. I know there's an objective behind it, and I guess that's for us to figure out. But I would almost say people should think in maybe a progression. And if you can start putting 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 + 2 = 4, and this progression continues, maybe have some stops or barriers to say, okay, you know what, it hits this, I'm going to do this. Or I need to be talking to somebody because this isn't right. It just seems like this could be poured upon us because it's being repeated way too often and by a lot of the wrong people.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Heidi?
Do you want to pick up on what Joffrey has said, that we're hearing about it? It seems to be signaling or predictive programming.
Right.
Where are you at with the Dark Winter? What have you heard? What's your sense? What's your understanding?
Well, based on doing just a little bit of research on what Joe Biden, would state about the Dark Winter. The original exercise was done, the Dark Winter exercise, I want to say it was carried out in the early 2000s, essentially trying to estimate what might happen if there was a biological weapon released in our country. And I guess what I'm almost wondering if it's kind of a code word in terms of, okay, if he said that when he did at the debate, that was almost like a code word for, all right, we need to release this twindemic, this twin to COVID-19. Get all the plans, get all the propaganda in place, and let's unleash it on the American public, but also worldwide as well. That's kind of what I'm suspecting. That's kind of what I've researched and I've seen, to really kind of keep that heightened level of fear stoked so that people are then more compliant. And continue to turn on one another, are more willing to take a vaccination that maybe in their right mind they would never, ever consider doing. So I think Dark Winter probably has a lot of tentacles to it, but that's my understanding of what that is.
Stu, what do you know about Dark Winter? What do you believe to be true?
Well, here's what I believe that they're going to continue to do. We know Donald Trump is going to be president. Now, the day before Inauguration Day, which he's not going to concede, because they will prove the voter fraud in these states. I forgot how many of them. There's about 40 of them that they're using the software in. They will prove the voter fraud because what the software does, folks, all of a sudden, Trump's up by 10,000 votes. It flips it and it pulls Biden's name up instead of Trump's name and gives the votes to Biden. That's what it's designed for, fraud. This election is going to be proven that. Now, the day before Inauguration Day, the Senate is required and the Congress and certain ones on a committee, there's 50 of them, and there's 38 Republicans. Now, you're going to have three of them defect. One of them would be, if I saw him in public, I would have temporary insanity. Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney. And there's two other Republicans that will vote for Biden instead of Trump. But out of the 50 on that committee, there's 38 Republicans. That means there's going to be 35 that will be voting for Donald Trump versus 15. Donald Trump will become the president of the United States, period. That's what they don't want. Their plans and actions against the American people to force a vaccination, in my opinion, of the credit debit chip, the DNA changer, the mark of the beast, which is in Revelation 13 on, would have become a reality if Biden were to be in. Under Donald Trump, that will not happen. There would be those idiots who will take the vaccination. There would be some states trying to force it upon people. But folks, whatever you do, don't take it. You can resist. You will see a possibility that, in my opinion, the Biden camp, the Hildebeest camp, the New World Order, satanic pigs, all of them, baby molesters, all this stuff. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, folks. And it's Biden's son. Oh, God. That punk needs to be put in a prison cell. But here's the point. From what the top that I've heard inside the government, outside of the government, it's not going to happen. There isn't going to be big events. There's going to be those Black Lives Matter are going to go off, and Antifa, and the other terrorist organizations that are being paid by the Democratic Party to cause chaos. That will continue, and it'll continue out in the streets. Now, over in Overland Park, Kansas, and you're familiar with that because you were a principal over at one of the schools over in the Johnson County District, Paul. Here's the deal. Black Lives Matter show up police department, blowhorning, running their mouths, 9 o'clock at night. Then they leave there, they go out in the neighborhood and go down the street with the bullhorn, screaming and yelling, and the whole place filled up on the block. The men came out with their guns pointing at the ground. The women came out with their video cameras going off their cell phones. They went out and told them, "You're under arrest." And they called the cops, "You're disturbing our peace." And they hauled them off. That's what's going to happen. They're going to be stopped in the streets by the American people. Now, I don't like to say this publicly, but if they start burning, looting, and rioting, shoot them in their private parts. I say it had changed the way they think. They want to be cold-hearted and killers and go out and burn and rob and loot. Blow their parts off. Shoot them. Leave them for the cops to find them. You're going to change their life. They're going to be psychologically disturbed now, worse than they were. That's my opinion of your future spring. I don't think the crap is going to hit the way that they believe it's going to do. And I pray every day for warring angels to go after the enemy. They're showing their colors like they've never shown before. That's one of the things that God is giving us right now, that everybody's waking up. And this media, oh my God, I see the media in the future being knocked in the head with baseball bats. People are going to get to a point, they're tired of them, they'll be knocking them out, breaking their teeth, giving them sore eyes. They're going to be in trouble. That's what I see in the future. Because the people are not dumb anymore. And they're awake, Paul, farther than what I ever dreamed of. And they're tired of censorship. They're tired of the truth not being told. With that said of it, I'm through.
Excellent analysis by everyone. We're at almost 90 minutes, and so I want to wrap it up now. I have a number of topics, about five or six, and I think we ought to go to geopolitics and exopolitics and connect them with what we're experiencing here in America, because a lot's happening worldwide. So perhaps the next show we can do those things. And I regret that I have to sign off now. Any last words from any of you?
Just, you know, kind of what we talked about, I think now's a good time to, as we mentioned earlier, I don't know how good our cash is going to be, guys and gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, people out there. Don't be afraid to maybe use and buy some things if you need to do it now, because I don't know what that's going to bring. I don't know what the change will bring. I do know that God's in control. Whether we follow a man or not, you know, if Trump gets in or not, it's still going to be us ultimately. And it's going to depend upon us to get things done. So we really have to rely on each other. I've said that before, but probably more so now than ever. And Paul, like you mentioned, pray before you go places. Like Stu says, hey, get the protection around you before you go. So.
Hi.
Yeah. Amen. I would say, like you all have talked about, just the monetary system as well. You know, just be aware. It's going to be like everything else. It's been a slow, well, actually, fairly rapid in terms of just this year. But noticing that far less people or far more places are going to start cutting out the cash. And but we know that that's what the enemy wants us to buy into, the cashless society, the buying and selling. And so there again, I'm so grateful to be able to communicate with the three of you men and to be a part of this, because we know what happens in the end. And that is definitely something that we've got to keep sounding the alarm. We know the enemy is going to push us in this direction, that we will not be able to buy or sell without the mark. And we see this happening. We see things coming to fruition. And once again, I love the fact that each of you is a believer in Christ. We need to pray for protection over our homes, over our families, over our neighborhoods, and that literally the corruption is brought to light. And
you want to take us to prayer, Heidi? You want to take us to conclusion to prayer on this?
Sure. Father God, we cry out to you. We know that all of this, everything that's going on in this world, is sifting through your fingers, your hands first. We trust our lives with you. You created us. We are honored for you to use us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we as a nation would continue to lock in arms with one another, that we are in lockstep as believers, that we keep sharing the love, the grace, the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ, that we would turn our eyes to him when we get down and broken or ensnared by sin. Lord, I pray that we would turn away from it at that moment and cry out, just Jesus, protect me. We need that protection. We know that things are not going to get any better in the near future in terms of what is going on in the world. We see the chaos. We see the division. We see neighbor turning on neighbor, family member turning on family member. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name for each of the listeners, for each of these men that I'm with right now. I pray a hedge of protection around our homes. I pray for the blood of Jesus to be poured out on our lives, on our families' lives. Lord, that if there's anyone in our families and in our listeners' lives, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who is listening to this message, please know there is nothing you have done that would ever, ever keep you from coming to the Lord, to be saved through the blood of Jesus. We all are sinners in desperate need of our Savior every single day. And there, if you trust Jesus, your sins will be cast as far as the east to the west. And Lord, I just pray that as the enemy lurks and it seeks to devour each and every one of us, that we would not listen to the lies that he puts in our minds, that we would not listen to the lies of those who are trying to destroy us, our character. Lord, I pray that people know and hear and listen to what the truth of God's word says, and that is, if anyone wants to come to the Father, they must go through Jesus. It is Jesus alone that atones and takes the penalty for our sins. Father, I just I lift up this country to you. I lift up the direction I lift up President Trump to you. I pray in Jesus' name for his presidency to be, that there would be absolutely no doubt. Everything would be completely be done above reproach, and that people would understand that indeed this man is our president. But Lord, I pray that as a Christian body, that we use these few years that we may have left, if with Trump being indeed elected the president of the United States, that we would use this fire, this time in this fire to share the gospel, to share end times, to share prophecy, what is yet to come. We have to be ignited. We cannot be lazy. We must do this now. Lord, we just claim this in Jesus' name.
Amazing. Amen.
Amen. I'm in agreement with that. With that said, anyone else have any last word?
I think Heidi said best.
Let's end it there then. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Professor Paul. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good day.